It's so funny because last Sunday it was so hot and the fire was going, which I loved. And here we are and the fire's going. I love it. I woke up the other morning feeling just a little bit lost, wondering if anything I'm doing, in particular writing poetry, can possibly matter in today's very challenging world. And waiting for me on the Writer's Almanac was this beautiful quote from Adrienne Rich: "Poetry is the liquid voice that can wear through stone. Poetry is the liquid voice that can wear through stone." That one line made my heart soar and somehow instructed me to keep writing. I had already chosen my title for this sermon, but here I was actually experiencing life coming back into my heart. The scripture passage from the Acts of the Apostles, our first reading this morning, compels me because of this image of Jesus ascending with the astonished apostles standing by, and these intriguing figures in white robes saying, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the heavens? Why are you standing there looking at the sky?" What I hear underneath that question is a rather firm, "Get going. Take the light and the life that Jesus gave you and bring it to others. Now." Which reminds me of a recent poem, Psalm for This Day. "Let astonishment seize you. Let the smallest green weed startle you with its fierce determination to rise. Let the sun that you take so for granted shake your soul until it is shattered. And now, with all your soul wide open, let everything in. Let astonishment seize you. Let the smallest green weed startle you with its fierce determination to rise. Let the sun that you take so for granted shake your soul until it is shattered. And now, with all your soul wide open, let everything in." I believe Jesus had that kind of impact on people. I believe an encounter with Jesus could shake your soul until it was shattered. Certainly the beloved friends of Jesus, who had followed him for 3 years, witnessed his passion and death, and 3 days later his resurrection, surely they were shattered. And now, in this seemingly final earthly moment, with Jesus ascending before their eyes, they were shattered once again. Lucille Clifton has a brilliant poem entitled Spring Song. "The green of Jesus is breaking the ground, and the sweet smell of delicious Jesus is opening the house, and the dance of Jesus' music has hold of the air, and the world is turning in the body of Jesus, and the future is possible." The green of Jesus is breaking the ground, and the sweet smell of delicious Jesus is opening the house, and the dance of Jesus' music has hold of the air, and the world is turning in the body of Jesus, and the future is possible. All of these images of breaking the ground, opening the house, dancing and turning in possibility, these give me a buoyant heart. So how do you sustain that? I think it has something to do with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In your own affirmation of faith, you include these potent words: "Today the Lord comes to us anew in the spiritual understanding of the Holy Word. With its enlightenment and renewal of life, this disclosure is the second coming in spirit, making possible a new and larger life as we love God and love the good which comes from God in all people." Making possible a new and larger life as we love God and love the good which comes from God in all people. A friend of mine recently shared a wonderful Hafiz quote, which goes like this: "Fear is the cheapest room in the house. I would like to see you living in better conditions." Fear is the cheapest room in the house. I would like to see you living in better conditions. Which led to a poem of my own called Moving Day. I have lived within these cramped quarters long enough ducking under doorways, folding myself into the corners. Enough, I say, enough. My heart deserves a palace. I have lived within these cramped quarters long enough, ducking under doorways, folding myself into the corners. Enough, I say, enough. My heart deserves a palace. So fear is the great diminishment. Fear is the energy that shrinks and constricts our lives and also our hearts. How do we protect ourselves from the ravages of fear? How do we prepare our hearts for this Holy Spirit? I asked Jeff to provide a quote from the writings of Emanuel Swedenborg for this service, but ironically, when I found the service leaflet from the time I preached in January, the quote is perfect. So let me share it. This turning to the Lord is an actual turning, a kind of elevation, for there is an uplifting into the heat and light of heaven, which takes place by the opening of the interiors. When these are opened, love and wisdom flowing to the interiors of the mind, and the heat and light of heaven into the interiors of the body. From this comes the uplifting, like a rising out of a cloud into clear air, or out of air into ether. Moreover, love and wisdom, with their heat and light, are the Lord with a person, and he, as was said before, turns people to himself. In the letter to the Ephesians, our second reading, Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. And immediately following this, Paul says, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened. The heat and light of heaven can sustain a buoyant heart. I'd like to share another poem from my beloved Mary Oliver entitled Hallelujah. Everyone should be born into this world happy and loving everything, but in truth it rarely works that way. For myself, I have spent my life clamoring toward it. Hallelujah, anyway, I'm not where I started. And have you too been trudging like that? Sometimes almost forgetting how wondrous the world is and how miraculously kind some people can be. And have you too decided that probably nothing important is ever easy? Not save for the first 60 years. Hallelujah, I'm 60 now, and even a little more, and some days I feel I have wings. Hallelujah. Everyone should be born into this world happy and loving everything. But in truth, it rarely works that way. For myself, I have spent my life clamoring toward it. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm not where I started. And have you too been trudging like that? Sometimes almost forgetting how wondrous the world is and how miraculously kind some people can be. And have you too decided that probably nothing important is ever easy? Not save for the first 60 years. Hallelujah. I'm 60 now and even a little more. And some days I feel I have wings. Wings immediately give the sensation of buoyancy, of ascending, and also a kind of fullness. At the very end of the letter to the Ephesians, we have this breathtaking image of Jesus, the fullness of him who fills all and all, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Jesus residing in the palace of our hearts, in the fullness of our enlightened hearts. So I'd like to end with two poems. One, a very famous and cherished work of Gerard Manley Hopkins, God's Grandeur, and a modest one of my own called A Prayer for Pentecost. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, have trod, have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell.
The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, O morning, at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with bright wings. Come then, gorgeous spirit, cover the entire world with your wings of flame. Burn your love back into our hearts, our grieving, aching hearts that want so much to be opened.